justice and adal is not just restricted to the hashar, to the hereafter. Adal, justice and adal is not just for the hereafter, because life in this world also gives punishments for the sins. And today's discussion that we are having today, and we are sat together, and the points and the discussion that I will have with you today, we should consider that the subject matter is contained in the statement that I've just made. Maybe you don't understand, so I'll explain so that we can understand easily. That adl and insaf, that justice and adl is not just restrained to or will happen on the day of Hashr or hereafter, because mostly our thoughts or sort of concept is that Hashr on the day of judgment in the Rawzul Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah, when it will be established, and there is a concept that at that time the punishment for sins will be meted out. That the sins or the misdeeds that were carried out on earth, there's a concept, a belief that, oh, when Qiyamah comes, then we will be punished. What will happen in the world? Nothing's going to happen in life. Let's just carry on. But rather, this is not the case. And this is what the statement said in the beginning, is that adl and justice and balance and the right decision is not just kept for the hereafter, because justice and adl is not for the day of Qiyamah only, but rather if we think on this point, that life, the life that Allah Ta'ala has given to us and that we are living, itself gives the punishment for the sins. Because sin, doing a wrong action, is such a thing that we all know, an individual knows. We know that, oh, this is a sin and this is not right. Everybody knows what is right and wrong. But still, despite that, we carry out the sin. So what a big mistake and deception for us, that sin is such an action. It's not the case that, oh, I can say, oh, the punishment for the sins I will get in Qiyamah, it's okay, let me live my life with ease and comfort, enjoy myself and do what I want. Because this is what lots of people think. Khair, if a person is committing sins and the dunya is carrying on, I can do what I want, isn't it? Nobody's there to watch or see me. But we will get the punishment in the Qiyamah. Okay, fair enough, you can carry on here, totally well and comfortable. But this is not the case. This really is not the case. This is in opposition to the principles of deen. Now sin, guna, is such a condition. Remember this point, that when an individual, a human being, implements a sin, at that moment, at that time, in that place, in that moment, in that time, in that place where a person is sinning, immediately the punishment for that sin begins. Immediately. So the punishment of the akhirah, that totally will be given in the hereafter, that will be completed, that will be distributed. But the initiation of the punishment of sin, of disobedience, starts immediately, as soon as the human being, individual, implements the sin. And this for us is something that we don't understand. It's a very big misconception that we don't understand. The curse, the wretchedness, the ill effect, the evil of the sin, it begins immediately after the sin is implemented. So what's the result of this? That the person carries on living the life and he doesn't know, or she doesn't know maybe, that what's going on. But the wretchedness and the curse, the darkness, the ill effect of the sin continues to bear down on that individual. And the ill effects are seen. Disasters, calamities, problems, difficulties, all different types of conditions that befall a person. Weird sort of phases that a person has to go through in feelings. So what is all of this? This is the effect of the sins that a person has implemented. So a person's life then follows through uncomfortable phases, and the person doesn't understand what's happening. I don't have peace, I don't feel at ease. And what the punishment that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned with regards to hereafter is separate. But the person doesn't have peace, not satisfied. Here and there problems come, issues come, difficulties come, man or woman, brother or sister. And the person's like trapped in a net, can't get out. Business problems, family problems, health problems, wealth problems. All of these things, they come in the dunya. And they surround us. And what do we say? is that, no, I don't think about that. We don't even think of these effects because we don't consider it. First point, number one, is that we don't consider sin a sin. We say, what sin have I done? This isn't a sin. Because we think the angels are not going to come to tell us that we're sinning. They're not going to descend from the skies and heavens to take our hand or our mouth or our tongue or our eyes or our ears. The angels won't come. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the person who doesn't trust in my Quran, in my Kalam, in my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then why do you look for other forms of guidance that Allah has mentioned in the Quran and through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that sin, this is the worst action. So why do we wait for the angel to come and stop us? So a sin is a very bad thing. It disturbs the whole balance of life of a person. Remember, imbalance that occurs in life, issues, problems, we wake up in the morning until the evening, all the difficulties and problems and worries and restrictions, obstacles, things that come in our way. We should have yaqeen, certainty. The Quran is telling us, why don't you believe in this? That there's just one reason. Maqasabtum, Allah says, it's your sins. It's your sins. Now, one sin, if we take it, that's the effect of it. Now, if we amass all the sins, then imagine the mass of problems that are confronting a person in life. Can a person live in ease, at peace? The question doesn't arise. So if it starts here on planet Earth, then where will we reach eventually? To Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. Then that punishment will be completed and will be given in the total form. So we need to pay attention to this. That why are we doing dhulm on ourselves? Why? Rather, if there's no benefit of sin, what we see is that when we sin, we think that, oh, there's benefit in the world, monetarily or materially. Allah Ta'ala says that when you sin, the effect starts straight away. And the worst thing for a person, for a human being, from morning to night is sin, to commit the sin. All of the source of destruction comes through sin. What do we do? When such a condition confronts us, we've made some routes, some paths, some methods. Yeah? So we'll go to amils or peers or magicians or exorcists. We say, give us a wazifa, tell us what to recite, tell us what to do, give us a tasbih or recitation. Tasbihat and wazaif, these will not solve the issue due to sin. And then our iman gets even weak and shaitan becomes happy. They've sinned and now they're going to the wrong solution. Remember, there's nothing that can solve it. Remember, no thing in the world, any tasbih, wazaif, action will annul the sin. Because if the sin has been implemented, then we cannot remove it. It increases the effect rather. Now, the point here is, and because we don't consider a sin as a sin, we are hidden in the shell of our situation. Then because we don't, first of all, accept a sin as a sin, then we don't even get the tawfiq, the ability to solve or cure the effect of that sin. And then to solve the cure of the sin, first we've sinned, and then all of the offshoots of sin we utilize to try to eliminate the sin. This is wrong. So we try to solve the problem of sin through the effects of sin. And that's how our life passes. No, I want to solve this problem. I want to solve that problem. We don't understand what's happened here. If we take hold of and grasp hold of the true reality of what's happened, then within a second we can remove and eliminate the effect of that sin. It starts at that moment. And the worst thing, the most impure thing, which will give us loss, destruction. And if we understand the loss and destruction, why it's coming due to the sin, then immediately we will solve the problem of that sin, the result of that sin. So this is the point here, is that when a sin is committed, then Allah Ta'ala has given us a very, tubu ila Allahi tawbatun nasuha, Allah said in the Quran. Tubu ila Allahi, that when you commit a mistake, an error, when you err, and you implement a sin, and if you want to, after committing the sin, eliminate the effect of it, and you want Allah Ta'ala to remove it, and you know that this is the cause of all the problems, then straight away, what should we do? Tubu ila Allah. Where should we go? Tubu ila Allah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards our Rabb, our Lord. Tawbatan nasuha. And straight away present herself in Allah Ta'ala's court and say, Allah, I have erred, I have committed a mistake. Now this is an action that the Quran is telling us that through this action, that the whole sign of the sin and the effects of the sin will be removed in such a way. The example has been given that milk, you know, when the milk comes out of the udder of the animal, in the same way when a person sins, it cannot be just reversed, but when you eliminate the sin, then the effect of the sin will not come continuously. But it's sad to say that we delay. So when a man repents, it's irreversible. Allah will remove the effects, but we don't take heed, we don't hasten. What do? We commit the sin, as I've said, that as soon as we see in a life that we've got ups and downs, problems have come, and the situation is getting worse, and problems are coming, difficulties, not a small, even a small problem. Let's give it importance. The reason why we are distressed, from a small issue to a big issue, whatever is giving the distress. So the first thing we should think, what should we think straight away? Immediately, oh, this is due to my sins. I've got some issues, whether they're small, minor or major, is due to my sins. For example, that let's say in the home, you use a pen to write and the pen's lost. And you want a pen quickly, that I need to write. Phone calls are coming, I need to write a number. And that's a problem, isn't it? You need the pen. So straight away understand, I can't find the pen. That the difficulty that I'm experiencing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want give pain or difficulty to be. This mental issue I've got, the mental stress, is due to my sins. That's why I stated that many sins a person does, doesn't realize that he's sinning or making a mistake. Ulama ikram, scholars said, this is a sin, that's a sin, kabira, saghira, big and small sins. And we've amassed them, we can compare. And there are many sins that sometimes we don't have ilm, knowledge that this is a sin. But when this condition comes to our life, that we are experiencing problems and difficulties, let's take the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. This was their lifestyle, their mentality. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their blessed, in his blessed company, this is the habit that emanated. And the Sahaba learned this from the blessed company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when they saw even the slightest of an issue in their life, they understood that, oh, there's a problem. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, I'll give you an example of such a great companion. And what a great companion he was in reality. And he had a horse. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, mashallah, just like we decorate our car and we drive our car, same thing. He had the transportation at the time. So he used to love his horse, and it was a nice form of transport for him, and he used to enjoy traveling on the horse, and he used to sit on there nicely and travel on the horse with a certain style. He used to love his horse, and a horse is a nice thing, isn't it? It's something to fall in love with and adore. It was a very beautiful horse and a great means of transportation. So once Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu left his home to go somewhere, he wanted to travel on his horse. And when he got close to his horse to embark on it, the horse started to sort of hesitate and not accept Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. And he tried to sit on the horse, and the horse would, like, it was shaking, and it was moving around, and not in control. And the worker was trying to control it, and Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said, no, wait, leave it. Then Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu went home, did wudu, and prayed 2 rak'ah salah, and then he did dua to Allah, and paid attention to Allah, forgive me, Ma Mawla, forgive me, Ya Allah, it's due to my sins, Allah, I'm so grateful, Allah, that you've allowed me to recognize my sins, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful lesson. He said, oh Allah, you are so merciful and gracious that you've allowed me to understand and accept that I've sinned, that due to the horse not accepting me, embarking on it, it's due to my sins. Allah, if you do not make me realize, I would not have done tawbah now. And if I wouldn't have done tawbah, then I would have got the punishment in the hereafter. So it's a big, great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving us this lesson. So Allah, it's your karam, your mercy, your blessings. And not just like this, he cried so much that his prayer mat, his mat was moist with his tears when he was satisfied that I've done tawbah to my Rabb and I have asked Allah for forgiveness. And in the heart, remember this, a person gets a feeling when a person does tawbah to Allah, honest, true, sincere tawbah, then a feeling comes in the heart where a person, that feeling tells that person that your Rabb is now pleased with you, that Allah is now pleased with you, don't worry. A coolness descends into that. So the coolness came, so then he left then his home and went to the horse. The horse was humble, bowed its head, and he sat on its horse. He sat on his horse and he went off with ease on his way. Subhanallah. So look at the big difference between our thinking and the thinking and the concept that has been presented to us by the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. Our situation is such, and as I said, from morning till evening, we have masail and issues and problems and ups and downs, and especially in this day and age, lots of issues. A child is disobedient, your son or daughter may become disobedient, they may not be speaking properly, or your wife, or you may have issues with your wife, or at home you have lots of issues. What other problems are we waiting for, from home to work to the business, employment, everywhere we see, and sins have been spread out. You know, in other ways, if we look in the previous generations, if we look at the previous centuries, there were sins that could be visible now and then, but now sins are spread out and they're attached to people's lives and bodies, and they've become ingrained in our lives, our daily lives. And it's stated, like, you know, if you see, for example, if you'd spread something out and it would absorb something, you know, you'd have like a paper, an absorbent paper, for example, with a calligraphy pen or a fountain pen, and then you put the paper on top of the ink and it absorb it. But today we become like absorbent of sins. We absorb sins so much, our lives and our bodies and our thoughts, they absorb the sins, and the effect is so dangerous. It's so dangerous. So number one, we have not got the awareness or recognition of sins. We are collecting them, absorbing them, practicing them. And what happens then is that this is a very important point. It's a very important point. For example, a person says that I'm full of fear and issues and ups and downs and problems, and may Allah Ta'ala forgive us all. And brothers, sin is such a thing. Sin is such a condition that the sin, a house or the abode of the sin, a dwelling of sin is formed. Where does the sin go? For example, does it go into the eye, or does it go into the lungs, or does it go into the kidney, or does it go somewhere else? So Allah Ta'ala has given the sin a home from where it will be extracted. All the sins are gathered in one place. And what is that? The heart of a human being. The heart. For example, you've done a sin with your eyes, the sin will be stored inside your heart. You've done a sin with your tongue, the sin will be stored in your heart. If you've earned haram or done haram, where will the sin go? To the heart. So all of the sins, the kabira, sagira, zina, etc., all of the sins are gathered and stored in the heart. Now let's listen here. The elders, the pious elders in Islam, have stated that when the sin is implemented, committed, it goes into the heart, and then if we do pray 2 rak'ah salah, tawbah, and we repent, Allah says, I clean the heart straight away. And what do? We observe, and we are absorbing the sin, and we store the sin. Let's be honest, how many times today have we felt that, have I committed a sin? Have I done wrong? Has anybody felt? And we'll think, oh, I've prayed salah, I've done dhikr, I've done recitation, I've done ibadat. But there's probably nobody here in this majlis, and me, myself, I'm in front of you, who has thought about his sins today, about his salah, or about other actions, wrong actions. For example, the amount I've thought about salah, and my talawat, and my routine, and etc. Have we thought as much during the day or the evening that I've committed sins when we go to sleep in the night? No, nobody probably has. Have we gone to sleep on a mattress before we go to sleep? Have I committed sins today? And what are sins? For example, speaking loudly against somebody, rudely to somebody, looking somebody in a bad way. These are all sins. These are sins. From home to outside, society, children, you slapped somebody for no reason. This is a sin. This is totally a sin. What was your intention? To hit that child. For which reason? You're walking, you're outside somewhere, and you say, you elbow somebody. It's a sin. You're outside, and you're in the car, you have a clash with someone, and you press the horn. It's a sin. So as I say, that sins today are spread out in the atmosphere, out in the environment, in society. We don't think about the sins. And where are the sins going? Say it loudly, loudly, to the heart. So now, when the sin goes into the heart, it gathers, 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 collects, 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 and the heart becomes black and dirty. And the hadith is telling this. Who is this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't believe in these words, then we won't be Muslims. So what happens to our heart? It becomes black and rusty and dirty. This is what occurs. And then the effect of the sin? It is stated in the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'd like to tell you in Arabic if it comes to my mind. Ujullatun. Ujullatun bi tawbatin qabla al-maut. This is the hadith, very great hadith, that our beloved and Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hurry, hurry, death is coming. You know, we say, oh, quickly, quickly, the car's about to go, or the train's about to go. You know, you're getting ready, and the child's getting ready. Please, for the sake of Allah, hurry up, hurry up. The plane's going to fly away. It's going to take off. Don't you know we're going to miss the plane? We're going to miss the flight. And you're still getting ready. We say this, don't we? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what did he tell us? Ujallatum bitawbatin. Bitawbatin, that hurry up, do tawbah quickly, because maut, death is there. It's there, it's waiting for you. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, subhanAllah, the maut is about to come, death is going to come. Quickly do tawbah, repent quickly, because your heart is black, it is dirty. Do you know what's going to happen to you? But a person's heart is black, impure, dirty, then at the time of death, that human being, he is not able to recite the kalima, and he or she departs from this world without iman. Without iman. It's a big punishment, isn't it? Tell me. So it's worse than even hellfire. Worse. It's worse than hellfire. That we've got salah, but we've wasted our salah. We've done ibadat, but we've wasted them. We've worshipped, but we wasted it. We recited Quran, but we wasted it. Because the heart is the same. It's in the same condition. Do you understand what I'm saying? The heart is in the same condition because we've amassed all of the sins and the darkness of the heart. That a person, how do we remove the dirt, the impurity? If we don't use the cleaning agent, there's a cloth and there are stains. And all stains are not washed with soap, are they? That, for example, you have an oil stain or grease. So you need different agents to clean the stains, and they clean the unique stains. If you keep on using soap, the cloth will tear, but that stain won't go. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the stain of sin is eliminated from only two things. Subhanallah. Either tubu ila Allah, that come, Allah says, and repent to me and I will clean and purify you. Or Allah Ta'ala says that I will burn your heart and your body in Jahannam. And then what, imagine, is the degree Celsius centigrade in Jahannam that will eliminate our sins. Do we want to wait for that? What a straightforward message. Now, at this moment, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ujallatum bi tawbatan. Quickly, hasten to tawbah, qabla al-maut, before death. Because death is coming, it's behind you, it's in front of you. It's waiting for you, having breakfast now, with ease. And how do you know that after breakfast you will leave home and you will pass away, maybe? Or you're phoning somebody. How do you know that a few minutes after your phone call, maybe this is your last phone call of your life? Ask somebody who's just died. Did he know that this was his last salah before he died? Many people are this. He doesn't know Jummah will come. Will Jummah come or not? Will Friday come or not? Did he know? The deceased person, that the next Friday will come or not? Think, I'm sitting here, I'm speaking with these. After this could be our last meeting. Why? When? How? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that death is there, it's behind you, it's in front of you. Don't remember anything, forget everything. First and foremost, clean your heart, purify your heart. Quickly, do tawbah. Do tawbah. That's why, for this reason, when there are such majalis, gatherings of the friends of Allah, you will have seen the awliya Allah, and I plead, I put my hands together and I plead to new brothers and people who have come from before, that do tawbah, repent. And the people who are fortunate say, yes, Hazrat, I want to do tawbah. And for this tawbah, the Quran has stated that when a person like this does tawbah, then his sins are totally washed away and removed. All of the sins of the whole life, from young age to the old age, they are removed, purified. Imagine insan, how he's become so negligent and lazy. Allah Ta'ala has prepared such places and times when a person then dies. The film is shown. You know, like you go to the cinema, a person goes to, watches the film. Look, you were sat in the world. Allah Ta'ala gave you direction to tawbah. Then another person said, you do tawbah. You ran away from there. Then Allah says, I put into your heart the ability to understand, do tawbah. And you ran away from there again. Allah says, oh foolish man, why were you scared of doing tawbah? It was for you to do tawbah and for me to keep you, to maintain you on the deen. So why were you afraid of doing tawbah, of repenting? Allah says, I am the Rabb. Allah says, As-samawati wal ard, I have created the whole of the heavens and earth. Was this something to be afraid of? To hesitate? Allah says, tawbah ilallah, you should have done tawbah. You came to me, you were paying attention to me. You weren't going to anybody else, were you? You were coming to me to do tawbah. When the sheikh invites a person to do tawbah, he's not calling people to himself to do tawbah. No, he's calling people to Allah, that repent to Allah. Remove your sins. That will I live long enough to practice? Will I be able to become a good Muslim? Or I'll go back to sin? Allah says, no, do tawbah now. Let me remove your sins, and then I will take care of your maintenance on the deen. For example, you've gone shopping, there's a queue, and somebody says, okay, look, time's running out now, so you'll only get a few things now. Only a few things are left. For example, you're in a queue and there's food being distributed. Somebody says, okay, the sweet rice is gone. Do you want palau rice? That's left. What will you say? Okay, fine, don't worry. Just give me the palau rice. Okay, forget about the sweet rice. At least I need to fill my stomach up. If he says, no, everything's finished, just two pieces of bread. Okay, give me the two breads, the two chapatis. I don't know if tomorrow's going to come. We'll say this, won't we? We're not going to wait. So, brothers, whatever happens, alhamdulillah, if tawbah is coming to us, what greater gift and ni'mah than this is there. So we're sinning, all of the restrictions, the obstacles in front of us, problems, we've got issues, calamities from morning till night and beyond. First and foremost, we should understand what? Say it loudly, that this is due to our sins. But we are so mutakabir, full of pride, like shaitan. And look at shaitan, how his kibar, his pride was so massive. Imagine shaitan. This is the difference between us and shaitan. But then the person who becomes shaitan, then he lives like shaitan. Allah Ta'ala said to shaitan, look shaitan, they're going prostrate to Adam, isn't it? And so what did shaitan do? He said, no, I'm not going to prostrate. So he had takabbur, pride and arrogance. Okay, so then Allah, so when he did not prostrate and he did not listen to Allah and he disobeyed, Allah said, okay, shaitan, you are expelled. You're expelled. Okay, he said, Allah, I'm expelled, but give me permission. So how did he seek revenge? That Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, he instilled waswasa. Allah says in the Quran, waswasatun, the same waswasa that I mentioned about before, the evil whisper. Such a great prophet of Allah, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, who was shaitan whispered. And like Allah Ta'ala says, la taqarabu faisha. Allah says, don't do this action, that action, that action. We go opposite. We implement those things that Allah Ta'ala has told us not to do. Allah has given us total maslam way of life. Allah says, la taqarabu the shajrata, don't go towards this tree. In other words, Allah Ta'ala has told us, like, don't go towards this tree. The whole life framework within the boundary is similar to the advice that Allah Ta'ala gave to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the direction. Allah says, this is deen, these are the branches, and don't do this action. A, B, C, D. This is the tree of Allah's order, and the branches are the orders. So shaitan said, okay, I'm expelled. I will influence Adam alayhi salam. So what dalil did he give? Imagine that the dalil, the proof he was presenting, he said that this is beneficial for you. This is the thing that will give you business, the benefit. Your business will prosper on this unlawful thing, on this haram. I'm telling you it's right. And if we say, no, it's wrong, no. Where is it wrong? How can this be wrong? No, no, no. It's jaiz. If you don't earn, you'll get loss. You need to earn more. And then this will give you life, will give you ease and prosperity forever. So we won't understand. But Allah Ta'ala knows better. So he was the Nabi, the Prophet, pure, clean, honest heart, sincere, innocent, because the Prophets were innocent, sinless. So then shaitan did something else, that he swore by Allah. Shaitan swore by Allah. For whose reference did he give? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the ashik, when Allah's name comes, for example, if you the name of your beloved, you accept straight away, oh, my beloved said this. So has Adam alayhi salam accepted? Oh, yeah, he's saying Allah's name. This can't be wrong. If he's saying in the name of Allah, then he must be honest. He must be right. And how he influenced and he sort of gave the wrong hints to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam went to the tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the consequences of that. So when Allah ta'ala said that you have made a mistake, you have erred, why have you done? Why did you do such an action? So shaitan, what does he say? Oh, it's fine, it's okay. So at that time, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What did shaitan say? When this verse, I can't remember the verse, but I'll tell you the meaning. What did shaitan say? That Allah, you are the one who made me astray. So look at the difference. Say, Allah, you made me astray. So he's blaming Allah. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam saying, Allah, I have done dhulam, injustice, wrong action. I am the one who made the mistake. What a big message here. That person who accepts his sins, that Allah, I've made a mistake, I've committed a sin, Allah immediately forgives that person. The person says, who says, I haven't made a mistake, Allah, you did this, you made me do this. It wasn't me, it wasn't in my control. You told me to do this, you advised me to do this, or you directed me to do this. Na'udhu billah. You made me do the sin. When a person blames Allah, this is shaitaniyat. This is evil. We say, oh, I haven't done a sin. What sin? Like I said earlier, that today I've committed no sins. I'm pious, totally clean. Nobody will say, ask anyone, that today have you done any sins? No. What sins have I done? Have I committed any mistakes? Ask this person, that person, that person. No response will come. And this, if this is condition of our sins, so the angels on our right and left, they have filled in the sheet, the record deeds full from morning till evening. There's no space more for them to write. And we carry on saying, we haven't even sinned. But one ill effect of a sin, brothers, the whole sheet, if it's stuck to our lives, then where have our hearts gone? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, ajallatun, that quickly if maut comes, death comes, then will kalima be recited from our tongues? Will we depart with iman? The Quran and Hadith are asking us that every person will die. Every mu'min will die. And what do we know? What will happen? Not happen. Our eyes will close. Our mouths will close. Our life will go. And subhanallah. But the Hadith tells us, informs us, explains to us that insan, the human being, every moment he should pay attention. I've made the mistake. Even if you haven't made the mistake, I mean, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, that Allah accept, I've made the mistake. Allah, okay, so Allah, please forgive me. And we should do the same, that I don't know, I've made the mistake. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, I give the example that Rabb, I've made a mistake. Whether we knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously, sometimes it happens knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. Always we should be focused more than on ibadah. We should say, Allah, have I done zina with my eyes? Have I done a sin with my eyes or with my hands? So what's the cure? Immediately do tawbah, pray 2 rakah nafal. And even if you have to pray 100 nafal in your heart, this is for your benefit, not a loss. Your heart is being cleaned and purified. If I think, oh, it's okay, I'll repent some other day, khayr, it's okay. Never think like this about a sin. When a person commits the first sin, remember this, another point here, that when a person commits a sin, say it's his first sin, then his position is very weak at that time. Weak. He's a weak sinner.
a weak sinner. And if he does tawbah at that time, he can come out of the fold of that sin, and that sin doesn't get attached to the body. But if he waits, then that sin becomes stronger, more robust, and he repeats the sin, and repeats the sin. Today, for example, a person doesn't smoke, and if he does true tawbah and he wants to leave that action, then he'll do tawbah. The action will go. But if he doesn't do tawbah, then he'll carry on smoking, then he'll become a person who smokes drugs, or an alcoholic, or a zani. Why are they solid and strong with the sin? Before they were weak and slow in the start. A person's weak on the sin. At that time, if we grab the opportunity, we can repent and leave the sin. But if we don't, we don't utilize the opportunity. So a person who eliminates the sin in the beginning phase, early phase, initiation, he will leave that sin. He can do tawbah quickly. For example, in the night, you watch something inappropriate. Happens nowadays, isn't it? On the screens, telephones, screens, laptops, devices, the wrong program comes on, a person feels the good taste and enjoyment. The person, he sweats and feels a bit of remorse and regret because that thing came into the nafs. Then the person takes his hand again, then looks at the wrong thing again. Then he starts to become strong in the sin. Then that color, the effect, it takes effect on the person. Makes a mistake, at that same time do wudu and do 2 sujood, and your body, your nafs will never name doing that sin again. Even shaitan won't come close to you. You say, what's the point? This person who repented, I'll look for another customer. Write this down, I advise you. But if the first time you enjoy it, you want to repeat it, and if you don't do tawbah on it, you don't repent, you're lazy, negligent, and you're feeling that I've committed the sin, you know. But you say, oh, it's okay, I won't do it again. And your conscience saying, no, I won't do it again. But Allah says, no, do tawbah. Tawbah. Don't have confidence in yourself. Oh, I'll pray salah, I'll do dhikr tomorrow, I'll leave the sin. No, Allah says, don't trust yourself. Allah says, you're still weak. This fruit has not become ripe. You're weak. Do wudu straight away. Don't be lazy. Do wudu. Sit down in that place. Pray the 2 rak'ah for tawbah and say, Allah, forgive me, forgive me. When that coolness comes in your heart, and you say that, the sign of that sin will be eliminated from your life, from that place. Otherwise, you'll become the total and solid sinner. Before you're weak, then you become a solid sinner. Allah says, okay, go. Go. Go with your sins. So, then he doesn't get the tawfiq to repent from the sin. He continues to sin, or she continues to sin. So very easy formula. Tubu ilallahi wa tawbatan nasuha. Allah says, run, run, just like the child runs to the mother. He's made a mistake, he cries and runs to the mother. So a person who's a sinner should run, go to Allah. Allah, my Lord, I've made a mistake, forgive me. Inshallah, when these conditions come in a person's life, that we ourselves, we invite the punishments. And so Allah says that the dot will come, but you will feel peace if you do repentance and do tawbah in your business, in your life, in your family, in your ibadah. Noor will come, light will come, peace will come. You'll have a balanced life, a nice life, no loss, no fear, no remorse or regret. Shouldn't we do this, my friends? Yes, brothers. So be careful on this. A couplet verses come into my mind, so that I introduced this discussion with that couplet, with that statement, that don't leave the adl and the justice to the hashr. Because don't leave and delay justice to the hereafter. Don't think, oh, it's okay, I can sin now, and just let's leave it to the day of judgment. No, this whole life of ours, physically in this world, will give us the effect, the punishment, the consequences of the sins. That all of the situations of life's ups and downs are due to what? Our sins. But we don't think on this point. Whenever a condition arises, Allah Ta'ala has given an example, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, that the car, for example, doesn't start. For example, his horse would not allow him to sit on his back. So if the car's not starting, think, oh, it's my sin. And don't say, oh, no, this is a sin. This situation that's spoilt in my day to day, that's causing me problems and issues, this definitely is due to my sins. Why? Because who is running all of the systems and the cycles of life? Allah. And so why is this system not running? Because Allah Ta'ala is not allowing it to start or run. So we need to understand this point. For example, we've said something or done something, or we're trying something to do something good, but there's a restriction, there's an obstacle or a hurdle to us achieving something, implementing something. So what should we do at that time? Tawbah, sincere. Allah will give better, Allah will give the thing in replacement, but at least minimum we will be able to recite the kalima at the time of death. And that is what we need, me and you. So brothers, when we get the opportunity to do tawbah, whoever, if you're in a majlis, in a gathering of a sheikh, wali of Allah, he's calling you, invites you, doesn't invite, say, Hazrat, allow me to do tawbah, teach me how to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is there any loss in this? So when we do tawbah to Allah, we repent to Allah. When a person repents, the Quran explains that if you read the verses in Surah Mumtahinna, that when a person does tawbah and he takes the sheikh as the guide, Allah says, from the young life to the old age, ooh, all of the sins are removed and his life becomes full of nur and light. And when he thinks, oh, if I do tawbah today, if I repent, then I will sin again. No, I'm not going to repent today. I'll wait. Allah says, no, if you repent today, I will protect you from onward sin, continuous sin. Because the human being will try to sin afterwards, but Allah Ta'ala says, I will save you in such a way, I will keep on purifying you. The time of death, you will recite the kalima and you will be delivered to paradise. Because Allah says, you came to me. You ask me for help. If you go to a normal person in the world and he appreciates you or helps you, if you go to somebody and say, look, give me protection, refuge. So he may not do so much, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will he not appreciate that my servant has come to me? He hasn't gone anywhere else. He's asked for my help. He hasn't done shirk. He hasn't done bid'ah, innovation. He hasn't gone to a wrong person. He hasn't knocked on the wrong person's door. He hasn't asked for anyone's help. He's got yaqeen, certainty that the malik of the whole world is who? Allah, and he has come to me. Subhanallah. So the more yaqeen we have in Allah, Allah ta'ala says, he's considered me as the protector. Allah says, so I'm going to protect this person, him or her. So should we do tawbah or not, brothers? Inshallah, from today, whenever a condition comes in our life that we've got issues, ups and downs, straight away do tawbah and turn to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Ameen.